Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 97. Holy cow. Episode 97 of Dub Bear Minimum Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 11th. Join the best friends in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Chef Trev is here. Welcome back, Chef Trev.
Hello,
Chef
thank you.
Daladale's here.
Hey, everybody.
I am Marcos, and again, we are Dub Bear Minimum Podcast. Missing our boy Sammy Stats this week. Maybe we'll see him next week. See how it goes. So episode 97, we're on Facebook, Bare Minimum Podcast, Twitter, all that good stuff, Instagram. Yeah. You guys know how it goes. Welcome back, my boys. I fucking missed you guys. How the hell are we doing?
I'm cold.
You're cold.
Yeah, it's been cold.
Buddy, it's about to get colder.
I know. I'm not a person.
Ice fishing season.
I do want to go ice fishing this year. I sure want to go.
It's about to get real fucking cold. There's going to be mad ice.
See,
that was crispy as fuck.
I think that cold is only cold if you're unprepared. If you're prepared for cold, you're fine.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, dude.
I've got a whole pop-up tent. I got coveralls. We'll have a time.
You're for real, though? You're going to go ice fishing?
Yeah, you want to go?
No, fucking
shit. Is it the same tent that we used to use?
Yep.
You're both going to go in that tent?
Oh, yeah.
See?
Uh-huh. Sick. We're going to be warm.
Uh-huh.
A lot of body heat.
Yeah.
As warm as driving ISU with unemployed Jake.
Never forget it.
No AC.
I paid for gas.
On the way back. I did not tell you. We had AC on the way back.
We did have AC on the way back.
What, your coolant go out? What happened?
Oh, no, his job went
out. No, but yeah. But I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, we knew. Same green sweatpants 5 days in a row. We knew our boy was down bad.
We're driving. It gets, like, hot. I'm like, hey, can you throw the air on? He turns it on for, like, a minute.
I just got him cooled down.
And I just kept looking at him like, dog.
Jake just grabbed the manual in the glove compartment and just started fanning Dale off in the passenger seat.
He was flicking water at me.
Spritz. With the water bottle mist.
No, isn't this nice?
Oh, guys, for those of you who celebrate, happy belated Insurrection Day. For those of you who celebrate. Kevin. Anybody want to fess up to something? I know we recently learned somebody's on a list, so anybody else want to fess up to anything while we're here?
I had an alibi.
Oh.
What, that you're Jimmy Fallon, not Jimmy Kimmel?
That's fucking crazy, dude. What about week 18 in the NFL? So week 18 is wrapped up. Oh, wait, before we do that.
I'm not ready for heartbreak yet.
Yeah.
Something else first.
Before we do that, you guys talked about it a little bit already. Weather's going to fuck us. Mm-hmm. Weather is going to weather. We're supposed to get, what, 8 to 12 inches? And actually 8 to 12 inches, like cold, negatives. This is going to be one of those weekends where you just stay your ass inside. You have a fireplace going? You got your fireplace? It's all ready to go?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you got wood ready? It's been going.
Ooh, I need to get wood. Good call.
You know what's crazy? So I got my carpet redone. So I got the carpet redone.
Does it match the drapes?
Yeah, no. It's always, I mean, technically it's always says. I don't think it does for you, though.
It's true.
So got the carpet redone, and we had an electrician come out because we did some stuff done. Come on, man. I've seen. So carpet gets redone. We had an electrician come out about a week later, add some outlets and just some simple stuff. And the guy tells me, he's like, hey, you have a gas starter for your gas fireplace. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. He's like, can you tell me where it is? Like where the key slot is. And I'm looking at this dude like, motherfucker, it's a silver key slot in the ground. Like, why can't you see this? I walk over there. Carpet guy's just carpeted right over it. Had no clue. So I'm looking at the guy like, dude, I'm super sorry for answering you like that. There was. I'm like, it's right here. So no fireplace for the kids this weekend. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
At this point, cut a hole.
Yeah, cut a hole. What do you mean?
Because you're gonna get that fixed.
You guys have cut out a section of carpet before.
Oh, yeah, pukey boy. Little pukey boy. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could. That's a good call.
Because I'm not even talking about cut out the whole plate. I mean, cut out the keyhole.
The square. Like the...
Yeah. All right, I'm back. You guys saved the day. I'm back. But
you're welcome.
If I have to pay any money for this, it's coming out of your account. Pay me. And week 18, Black Monday, guys. So
comes in the mail.
Yeah. So Black Monday, what did we see?
You come in the mails.
You saw like six coaching changes. You saw kind of some big names. We'll get into the big ones right away. And one not in the NFL. So you saw Saban retire.
Yep. You got Rip Bill, coach.
You got Bill Belichick. And the Patriots have amicably parted ways. Same thing with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's out in Seattle. Where else do we have coaching changes?
Vrabel.
Vrabel's gone. That's another one.
In terms of big ones, like good
yeah.
ones.
And there were some in season two. You had Commanders in season. Mm-hmm. You had Frank Reich was relieved of his duty mid-season two. So you got a couple guys now that, like, there's a bunch of names out there. Even offensive coordinators. We saw Getsy go, and we'll get into that. State
Pittsburgh
of the
was talking about trading Tomlin.
That's
crazy.
Is there? There's never going to be a coach Atlanta. That's Atlanta yeah. Well. Arthur Smith is gone. There's a bunch of coaching opportunities. There's a bunch of openings and stuff.
L.A.
Yeah, that yeah. Brandon Staley mid-season. Yeah.
Commanders.
So
Raiders,
Falcons, Seahawks. Sorry, I pulled it up.
There's a lot of job Pats. Availability.
There's like nine, eight nine, Panthers.
Eight, nine. Great time to just bring your guy back, right?
Raiders, like you said, and then Titans. Yeah. Real quick. Both Belichick and Saban retiring, that's kind of a big deal for football at both levels. Like, you're goats for this job for the past two decades.
What was Big Cat's tweet was Belichick and Saban retiring at the same time.
Belichick hasn't retired, has he?
Oh, yeah, I guess Belichick hasn't retired. But them, announcing their departures or whatever on the same day is kind of like it's kind of like two old people that die within hours of each other. it's like there go your heroes. Fuck one, kill one, marry one. Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, and Nick Saban.
Fucking Pete Carroll.
Easily. He's spunky.
You sure you could keep... Is that the word you want to use right there?
A lot of spunk.
A lot of spunk in Pete.
We're going to criticize how I choose to fuck Pete Carroll, by the way.
I don't think the other two have.
So you're top? That's crazy. That's good for you.
Yeah, he's an old man.
I'm struggling.
But you just said he has spunk.
Yeah. He's spunky bottom. You never met a spunky bottom?
I'm struggling to decide between killing or marrying the other two.
You kill Belichick. You can't live with that. Hey, how you doing? Fine.
I'm on to the living room.
That's great. His retirement speech. This has been a great honor. Yeah, it's been my joy for 24 years. Thank you.
I'm out of here.
And that was it.
I'd probably marry Nick Saban.
Yeah.
It's a lot of he'd have my back. Mm-hmm. I'd probably marry Pete Carroll because I'd fuck Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
I'd marry Nick Saban.
It's a consensus.
I'd kill Bill Belichick, right? We're all there.
Yeah, you can still go out and have fun with Nick Saban.
How much fun could you have? I mean, if you go down in Tuscaloosa, the man's a legend. That's a good one. Guys, anything else you want to get into here? We'll give a big shout out one last time to Aurelia Gloves. Big shout out to those guys. A premium product quality service. For any information, visit AureliaGloves.com. We thank you guys for the football coverage this season, and we'll see if we run it back next year. Guys, we'll do a little voicemails. If you're ever looking to send the boys a voicemail, you can always send us an audio file. Email is dubairminimum@gmail.com. You can also send us an audio file to the Facebook page. You guys got our info. You can send us something directly. Get in contact with us. We will play it. So we got one from the intern, the unpaid intern. Shout out, Jose. So let's see what Jose's got to say. I have a feeling.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
This is not going to be good.
Sup, fellas? It's the unpaid intern here. I just want to give you guys a call. Say congratulations on an incredible season. You guys won, what, six games? I think it was two more than I predicted. A little bit less than what most of you guys predicted. But, yeah, obviously, the Green Bay Packers take care of the Chicago Bears once again. It's 10 in a row now. And I just want to get your guys' opinion on really the quarterback situation for the NFC North as a whole. Not to get too ahead of myself, I feel like Jordan loves to have a great year. I feel like the numbers show that. And obviously you hope for more than just one year production, but it seems like he's going to be the franchise piece for the Packers moving forward. Vikings are a question mark because, of course, the Kirk Cousins situation. And Jared Goff, as of right now, seems to be like the answer at Detroit, but who knows if he's the long-term answer there. I tend to think he is, but you never know if they draft somebody a little bit younger. I know they did last year with Hendon Hooker. Now, obviously, the Bears is the big one. I've always been of the opinion that Justin Fields isn't the answer. I know he showcased a lot this past, second half of the season, and the offense was doing good things. But, man, Caleb Williams, that seems like just a no-brainer to me. So I know you guys touched on this briefly this past episode, but you know, you're on the clock now. I feel that you guys should take Caleb Williams and keep Justin Fields. That doesn't hurt anybody. And now that's a good problem to have. You have two potentially NFL starter QBs, and you figure it out after that. I don't see the trade value diminishing significantly if you decide to trade Justin Fields and, I don't know, training camp or vice versa with Caleb Williams. If they're compelled with Caleb Williams, they have to take him, and then you figure out the rest. But I just want to get your guys' insight, get your guys' opinion on what to do moving forward. And, yeah, hell of a season. And, yeah, go back, go. Peace.
It was too mellow.
It was mellow. I asked him, is this a mean voicemail without listening? And he's like, no, it's pretty mellow. It was pretty mellow. Let's save the QB talk for kind of State of the Beloved. But guys, let's address that awkward, uncomfortable elephant in the room. By the way, as a recap, Bears lose to the Packers 17-9, last game of the season in the season finale. With that win, Packers are the seventh seed, I believe, mm-hmm. in the NFC playoffs. So Jordan Love is going to be a pain in our ass here for, I think, the next few years. Like 4,000, he had 41.59 as far as yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks, QBR of 62. Like that's a 3-1 touchdown interception over that, you know, that 4,000 yard benchmark that we're always talking about. Like we've never had a guy that did it. And here was Jordan Love in his first season. It's unfair. It's just unfair. They can't keep getting away with it. He might not be like Hall of Famer. I don't want to say he's not, because who knows anymore, but like Favre and Rodgers and stuff, that's I doubt he gets to that level. We'd be so unlucky if he did. But dude can ball.
Oh, we've seen people like Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill take teams to the playoffs, and then once you get there, it's, you know, you just got to finish the season. My point being, he doesn't have to be the best quarterback in the league. You have to be like, you got to be able to manage the game. Mm-hmm. Now, he can still move, which is a huge upside. He's not Justin Fields, but it's not like he's Peyton Manning either. So he's got a lot to offer, honestly. He's a talented young quarterback, and it's, like you said, it's so fucking frustrating.
And I think that you're going to see a lot of, like, so we're going to see the Packers. Obviously, we see them two times a year, but this is going to be a huge pain in the ass for a while. Like, they are a playoff team with the second youngest team in the league with an average age of like 25 years and a month or something like
that.
That's
the scary part.
I mean, so these guys are, and they have a great coach. Like, Matt LaFleur is, I would say, top half of the league in coach, right? Like, I'd like to have a Matt LaFleur coach on my team.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So it's tough. That Packers game in general, guys, was just not a fun experience. In a game where you wanted to play spoiler, and we drew the comparisons to the Lions of last year playing spoiler to the Packers, and like we weren't that team on Sunday. So Jake, how'd you like the game? How'd you feel about it after it was all said and done?
Very disappointed. I mean, in a game where we said last week that you have to play your best ball here, otherwise we thought changes would be made, but that is clear now that that's not happening. So I don't know what to believe. I guess you can be bad at your job and still keep it. So yeah, I hated the game. Ugly game. Terrible. I don't know what else to say.
Well, and on the offensive side of the ball, like, and Trev, I know you saw it too, like, it's a lot of that same Luke Getsy, like an RIP Luke. It's a lot of that same Luke Getsy style offense, like square peg round hole, that we've seen him try to run with pretty much the entire season, right?
I mean, like, what felt like 13 of the 17 games, we saw just nonsense play calling, an average like depth of target of like 2.8 yards or something like that. It's just the ball's not looking downfield, the ball's not moving downfield. And I know you guys like talked about like the Falcons game coming off that, like where the offense was really buzzing in terrible conditions. He looked like an incredible passer, and just there was none of that success, and that like what worked and that scheming didn't carry over.
The attempt, right? Yeah. Like it didn't even look like you were trying to replicate what you saw was successful the week before.
And we've said it multiple times this year. It's they can't play football when they have to play football. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, whenever it really matters, that's when they like fail the hardest.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's the scary part. That's the disappointing part here was you had it, like not many times does a team who's missing the playoffs have something to play for in that last week or those last couple games of the season. You're like, you had that opportunity. You had that reason to get up and go win that game. Not to mention it strictly, dude, we hate them. Like we hate them. We hate them. Give me two wins a season if it's them two, to quote Lovie Smith. Like, so the fact that you
that was close.
The fact that you went out there and you gave that performance, just not a good look. Not a good look at all. Who do you guys think was who did we see in a Bears uniform for the last time on Sunday? You know, probably Cody Whitehair,
Eddie Jackson,
and Eddie.
Possibly Tanyan. I don't know if he's on a 2-year deal. He might be.
Yeah. I think Dale's guy, Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, my guy Darnell's probably gone.
Did we see Velus Jones in a Bears uniform for the last time?
I hope not.
What?
I'm not. I mean, I'm not into Velus Jones.
I'm asking.
Not. Okay. I hope not.
I asked, did we see Velus Jones in a Bears uniform for the last time?
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
We are on the same team.
Double negative. Yes.
I did F you up there.
Okay, we both hope that this was Dallas's last game with the
Correct.
Bears.
Correct. Yes.
He's turning 37. I don't see what we need him
for. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's going to be like some roster turnover here going into the offseason. Like, there's some big cap saving moves, starting with Eddie Jackson mm-hmm. and Cody Whitehair. Like, you free up, I think, close to $30 million between those two guys.
It's north of 20, almost 25. It might be 30. That's a lot.
For a safety who doesn't put his shoulder in there anymore because he got hurt so many times, and an offensive lineman who can't really offensive lineman anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, we thank you guys for your contributions, and that really should be a wrap on those two guys. Let's not dwell on it too much now at this point. Like, that game is what it is. The Bears finished the season now 7-10. And Monday, what was supposed to be, I thought, was a pretty easy decision, right? I thought Monday morning we were going to hear press conference has been scheduled, everybody's been fired, multiple heads are rolling, we're doing the whole thing over. Guys, we didn't get anything on Monday. When everybody else is making coaching decisions.
They told you you weren't going to get anything on Monday, though. They said that.
They told me we were going to have – I mean, every team has exit interviews on Monday, and even the teams that got rid of their coaches still held their exit interviews. My worry – came to fruition in that, like, the longer time went from like the end of the season and the start of day Monday, the longer that time went, the more and more likely it was that, like, I thought everybody at that point was going to come back. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel about the decision that was made? So Luke Getsy fired, and it sounds like there's a couple guys taken with him. I'm going to hold my opinions here for a little bit, but Luke Getsy fired. You had Andrew Janoco fired. I believe basically all of the offensive coaches, with the exception of Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, which he's like beloved in that organization. So like Simo stays, but basically everybody else goes. The big name that stays, and it was a massive surprise, is Matt Eberflus stays as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Immediate reactions.
It just doesn't make sense.
You know, I don't think it's a it's only a surprise, I think, because we lost that last game. Had we won, I don't think it would have been a surprise.
If my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
We should put that on our shirts.
Like, I agree. If the situation was different, it would be different. It's just patently
But this is
not.
Also what we went back to saying, or I think you asked the question a week or two ago, does this last game really matter to your decision-making? Like, if you're a GM, have you already made your decision, or does this last one matter to you? And the chance... It's possible that to them it didn't matter, that they had already made their decision.
That absolutely.
This is clearly what that means.
Yeah.
Like, and so now, like, you can't help but draw the parallels on, like, the decision on Flus was the decision on Getsy, is the decision on Fields. Like, it's hard to believe that these professional organizations would run into, like, a 1 week. Like, they're not riding the roller coaster like we are. Like, we're every week. I mean,
right.
If you listen back to 17,
we're living and dying,
dude. I've done it more this season in a lost season than many other seasons. Like, the roller coaster that we rode this season. If you listen back to episodes, every week we were like, Justin's the guy. Justin's not the guy. Blow it up. Keep everything intact. Run up until what last week, Jake, you and me were calling for everybody to come back.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, hey, Bears fans, it's okay. Like, this. These rocky waters, this weird feeling that we've had all season, like, there's not a playbook on how to, like, process this and make these decisions. We go off of what we see on the field and then read the tea leaves behind the scene. This is tough. Mm-hmm. This is a crossroads that is a decades altering. I'm not kidding. Like, you're going to feel the effects of this decision that's coming up here in the next few months. You're going to feel this for the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, we have lived it for literally the last 5 or 6 years. And that's not counting, like, the time before Mitch. We've seen how fucking up this quarterback position sets your franchise back. Because we got incredibly lucky, we thought, when Justin Fields fell to us. That was an absolute miracle when he was still available. Because quarterbacks of that caliber don't fall past pick 10. So now we're in the situation where, once again, we are either running back Justin Fields and we're going to have all of the exact conversations we had a literal year ago about number one or Justin, which one? Well, Justin's got to show us something. Guys, he didn't.
It took 3 years. And I mean, it's the same thing with
Never beat the Packers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Flus's thing.
One 300-yard game.
Well, and so, like, that's the...
Against the Bucs?
No, the Commanders this
season. Oh, you're talking about this season. Sorry.
In his career.
In his career. Was this season. It was the Commanders game, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Mitch. Sorry.
DJ Moore. Yeah, DJ Moore.
I think he had, like, 450 against the Bucs.
Yeah.
That was unreal.
Dude, oh yeah, the Mitch game.
Mitch let us to the playoffs twice.
Dude, that Mitch game was crazy. 6 touchdowns that game. Okay, here's the thing with Matt Eberflus, and here's my frustration with this organization and why, like, it just feels like we're back to, like Dale was saying, the same cycle, the same draft a quarterback. What do we do with the coach?
With a lame duck coach.
With a lame duck coach again.
This will be the third time. I can't, dude.
This was your, and I'm not going to minute to beef here. This was your opportunity to be different.
Full reset.
And not even so much be different.
Full stop.
Just to operate differently than you guys have operated since I can remember. Since the beginning of my Bears fandom. This cycle has always been like this with these guys. They always, always do things backwards. And we just put up with it because it's our favorite football team. You had a chance to be different in that you could have just followed in line and done it the same way that championship winning organizations do it, that real professionals do it. You bring in a president of football operations, right? And that president of football operations then is supposed to decide everything else that goes on. And Ryan Poles, you've had years to assess what Matt Eberflus is doing. You've seen it on the field. The man hasn't beat the Packers now in his entire tenure with the Bears. You've got multiple losing seasons. You had 3 historic losses in the same season. You have all these signs. The games that you won this season with this revamped defense, and I get it. Flus was dealt some shitty cards this season. You lost multiple coaches because of HR or self-resignations because they were forced. There was issues. There was the Justin Fields issue with the Luke Getsy coaching and the interview thing. All these things were issues, right? And he navigated it. But never, ever forget that Matt Eberflus's job as a head coach is to put those guys in place. He hired those guys. You don't get credit for not doing drugs. It's just expected. So, I mean, it just is, it's so frustrating that for once you guys had the opportunity to put everything in line, bring in a head coach who's going to bring in an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. They're going to draft a quarterback. And for once, we were going to tie everybody up together so that if you have to hit the panic button, if you have to break glass in case of emergency, it made sense for you. Not anymore. Not this organization. You know what the Bears are run like? They're run like your favorite ice cream joint in town. That's what they do. It's a mom and pop organization, and they're forever going to be this. I thought things would be a little different with a change.
It's actually not bad. Like, you've got your, you know, Dale's worked here for the last 10 years. He's our guy.
He moved up from Sunday cup washer.
Sometimes he comes in and he smells like whiskey. And sometimes he yells at the kids that work there, but he's our guy. And then you've got these good kids that come in and they just get chased out by these awful situations where you've got these players that I always bring up DK Metcalf, players that could be genuinely talented. They're just landing in the shit situation. How many experts out there, because at the end of the day, we're 4 guys around a table. How many experts out there say Justin can succeed in a different situation? More than a few. And we're just sitting here just wasting that And I'm not even saying keep Justin. I'm just saying we have fucked up on so many levels.
I just wanted them to be brave. And that sounds so like...
Be bold.
Yeah, right?
Be
Doesn't
beautiful.
That sound like a fucking... It sounds like a Hallmark, like a, you buy that... it's under your live, laugh, love sign in your kitchen. Like
I want like a motivational poster of Marcos's face and it just says be brave.
Just be brave. Be fucking bold. Do it. Go out there and reset the whole goddamn thing and build it your way. And it's just, it's not what's going to happen. So now it leads you to, you run into next year with Matt Eberflus as head coach. Matt Eberflus is going to pick a new offensive staff. The question is still, kind of question still remains, he's going to have to hire a DC. But Flus sounds like he wants to call his defense like he did this year. Matt Eberflus'
didn't go well.
Matt Eberflus' performance, oh, no, I think Matt Eberflus' performance as a DC is what saved his job this season.
Yes, I agree.
So...
It was the only thing he had going for.
Only thing. And the fact that like he must have sold the shit out of them on Monday morning. They probably knocked on his door ready to fire him, and he had that
he
shit.
He already had a PowerPoint
dog
up. He's like
ready
God,
to go. He had coffee ready. Thank you.
Guys, we were so good we beat teams like the Raiders and the Panthers and the Vikings and the Cardinals. You guys, our defense is so good. That's more than half of our wins there.
Yeah.
How can we say it was good?
Because they limited points.
The defense was good. I can't.
Just because the offense didn't score enough to win
consistently.
The second, like after Montez, yes, it did get markedly better.
Oh, and after Flew started calling the defense, they didn't. If you remember the first like six games or whatever it was, they didn't sack. They were one of the lowest sack rated teams in the NFL. And then the guard changed, and it totally changed completely. Yeah.
I think that like
the scheme and everything and it just added more.
In a perfect world, Flus would be your DC and like you bring somebody else in to run the thing. That was never going to happen because no grown man's going to like take a demotion like that. So it is what it is. But
public multi-million dollar demotion.
Yeah, multi. So
I'm just not sold on that because we got 40, 31, 20, 30 hung on us when he was the DC too. Alan Williams left before week 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the defense picked up, are we saying week 9?
You're also no Montez Sweat and some injuries in there. I think it's unfair to say that this defense didn't get better definitely as the season progressed.
It got better, but when you were one of the worst defenses and you get better, I know we keep saying we're a top 10 defense. I think we did.
I think it's fair to say you are. And like,
are we? I know we're like number one in run defense. We gave up a lot of passing yards.
I mean, Jalen defense was the highest rated cornerback, pass defending quarterback.
I think our linebackers had the most interceptions of a linebacking crew.
And Tyreek Stevenson is up there in consideration for defensive rookie of the year. So the defense played well. And that's where like the defense, like those young guys, Pickens and Dexter, you had those guys progress. Tyreek Stevenson, you had good years from your free agent acquisitions. Like, those guys were developed, so I can't take that away from them, right? But it just now puts you in a whole situation where, like, guys, we're 4 months away, and we don't know. We're going to start interviewing offensive coordinators here, and the first question they're going to ask is, okay, who's my quarterback? And what do you say? And even when you're interviewing, can you really tell somebody that? So then that guy can go interview with the Seahawks and say, oh, well, yeah, I'm between you guys and them, but, you know, this is what they're going to do. You don't want any of that information out, so you're going to keep it coy. Does that dilute like the pool of candidates that you have, having Matt Eberflus be there, kind of like Dale said, a lame duck coach? And part two to that question, if you're the Bears, to combat that, do you, this is going to sound crazy, you sign Flus to an extension?
Well, I mean, polls did say, like, I think early in the season, it might have been before mid-year, he said that Flus is the guy. You know, that's why I think the decision was made. But
I just thought that was executive speak.
We thought, but he did say it, and he's still here. So I don't know the rules. Can we still fire him?
Who? Flus?
Yeah.
You can fire him whenever.
You can fire anyone.
Well, you can fire him week 3.
Maybe they're just, you know, close to the chest. I don't know.
Oh, remember, the Cubs were all about David Ross, and then Greg Council became available. Now, we did hear that we didn't even fucking call Harbaugh.
Not yet.
So here's where...
We're letting him celebrate.
Let the man celebrate.
Gotta let him celebrate. It was a big win.
Here's where I don't believe that. I can't bring myself to believe...
No fire where there's smoke?
That they would actually, like, not look at any... If you're if you're Kevin Warren and you're Ryan Poles and you're telling everybody and their mothers in every press conference and every chance you get, we're doing a diligent process. We're building this the right way. We're addressing every single position, staff, and roster. You can't tell me that you didn't at least look and consider, like, upgrading the coaching position, especially with the names like Vrabel and Harbaugh and other guys, Ben Johnson, and guys that were available.
And that exactly what you're saying is what doesn't make sense to me, because like you said, how are we conducting this offensive coordinator search? And on top of that, like, how can you feel confident about just any part of the offense then?
If I'm another OC, what the fuck am I going to Chicago for?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys can't even tell me who my quarterback's going to be. What if I take the job and you guys then decide Justin Fields is the guy? Like, they need to almost be giving assurances to these OCs.
And
like,
on top
of
that,
we're going to take Caleb or something.
There are so many head coaching openings. Like, if you're a good...
Right, there's seven others.
If you're a good offensive coordinator,
you might get
a head coaching job.
Oh, if you're a good offensive coordinator, how about Atlanta? How about those weapons that you've got? They've got good young pieces on the offensive line, too.
And they're in that market.
Oh, yeah. And you know how easy it is to trade up? Well, what pick do they have?
Are they eight?
And who had the number eight pick last year?
We did.
The Panthers.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a roadmap for this.
Yeah.
I mean, two first, a top-end talent, and what, a second? A future second?
A future second.
Well, and so now here are the options, right? I'm going to give you guys three options. Either one, you're going to run it back with Justin Fields. Two, you're going to take the inevitable Caleb Williams, who, like, it sounds like Caleb Williams is the guy for as many personality things as, like, we hear about, and, like, the fodder, the fill. Like,
I hate that shit.
That dude looks like he can ball.
Like, he can fucking throw.
He looks like he can fucking ball. And the third option, and kind of Jose talked about it, so let's tie in the end of his call. You kind of keep both. You can either, and I'll tie into his situation, you can draft Caleb and keep Justin. Maybe you keep Justin, but maybe you take a guy like J.J. McCarthy. Maybe you take somebody later with that in the second and the third. You let a guy sit back for 2-3 years. You're running it with Justin with the door being left open for something else.
Well, it'd only be like 1 year.
Well, I mean,
two, because you'd have Justin's fifth at that point.
You'd have the fifth.
And I thought this upcoming is the fifth.
No, this upcoming
this
is the
fourth. Then you can fifth year, and then you play the franchise tag game too. So,
see, that makes sense. I think that for the basis of these arguments that are going to be made for the next however many months, you have to limit it to just the first round pick. So you've got to limit it to these top 10, because, like, as you think of the Caleb or Justin, or Caleb and Justin, which a quick second, I think that would be irresponsible. I think it would be a detriment to both quarterbacks
and the locker room.
Absolutely. I think that would be one of the worst decisions we could make. But the real conversation is, what is, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't think anyone is. What is a realistic return for Justin at this point? Caleb is rated higher, I think, arguably, than any of the quarterbacks last draft.
For sure.
What can you get for 1-1? That's the conversation, because it matters.
I think it's fair to say that you could expect to get more, especially if you made a jump from like 1-7, 1-6, 1-8. I mean, eight, like Dale said, it's safe to say that your return would be much higher, considering like how much better and how much more acclaimed like Caleb Williams and Drake May are, you know,
and the quarterback needy teams above those deeper,
yeah,
like those deeper picks. I mean, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback, and I mean, just got the highest bidder for one.
There's a I was reading an article today where there's a world that one of those top quarterbacks falls to the Bears at 10. Like, if that third one doesn't get picked,
McDaniels,
nine,
right, or whoever it is, excuse me, nine. Well, picks, I think, 11 through 14 are QB needy teams. Mm-hmm. So, like, you could leverage that pick. I don't know. Like I said, what it's going to come down to is what's a realistic return for both of these? Because when you have that information and you feel good about what you think that is, then you can make a decision.
Jake, you want to be on the record?
I don't hate the idea of keeping them both.
I'm going to give you the keys, right?
Okay.
You drive for a little.
Yeah.
What's your decision?
What's the goal if you're keeping them both?
What's the you have the backup plan.
My worry with
And there's a few things you can do with that. So One, you can continue to roll out Justin through his fourth and fifth year option and, you know, see if it gets any better with that Flus quarterback while keeping Caleb kind of behind the scenes, you know, learning a little bit, not just throwing him to the fire of the NFL. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out with Justin, you could still then fire Flus and have a new coach come in and start Caleb right away. There's also the idea of, you know, okay, first few games in, yeah, Justin's not it. Then we bench him and bring in Caleb, and then you could attempt to trade Justin. Like, it does give you a lot of options to do some things if you want to, you know, play that game.
Do you worry about your locker room, though?
And it's scary how similar that sounds to what we've done the last two rookie quarterbacks.
And I think if you get to the point of having them both and you bench Justin, I think if you get to the point where you have them both and you bench Justin, his trade value is in the basement, like, in the mildewy corner.
I don't think Justin's trade value goes up from here.
I don't think it goes
up. No, it is as high as it will be.
Yeah, I think this is as high as it will be, too. It might go down. So I don't think it'll be in the gutter. I mean, I still look back at, like,
if he gets benched in his fourth year, it's in the gutter. I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Gets benched in his fourth year, you're trying to trade him in his fourth year. If Justin's not the guy and you start the other guy, if it's Caleb, Drake May, whomever,
I mean,
he's done.
Like I said, this is the worst job in the United States right now, is to be the Chicago Bears GM and have to make this decision.
I don't think it's that difficult to make, guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's that difficult to make. I just think everybody needs to get on board with it. Like, I think that, well, maybe, I think, are we saying the same thing?
No, I think you're right.
Are we saying the same thing?
I think we are.
Say it on three.
One, two, three.
Draft Caleb Williams. Yeah,
and,
perfect.
Oh, wait, there's two parts to this, though.
Okay. And trade Justin Fields.
There's three parts to this, though.
What's good?
You have to get rid of Eberflus.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
You publicly supported him.
He is here until at least week 10 of next season.
They asked him in that press conference, in that end of season press conference, when he sat up there with Ryan Poles.
Next to him.
Which, like, is couldn't so have done fucked it. Up.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
They asked Ryan Poles, hey, did you guys reach out to Jim Harbaugh? And Ryan, as literally Matt Eberflus is sitting right next to him, like, and Ryan's like,
that's right.
No.
Did you text that other bitch?
She's like, no, he's the coach of the Wolverines. He's the coach of Michigan right now. They're like, but you didn't even like call him? Or he's like, no, Matt's our head coach. Like, I explained to you guys why. It's like, what the fuck did you? That's why I don't believe that they didn't call. Like, you really expect that man to say, like, yeah, I called him. Yeah, like,
we'll say, yeah, it's just
hello.
There you go.
Yeah, we're back.
Like, you really expect him to, yeah, say, like, yeah, we called and he shot us down. Like, yeah, that's going to be the go-to. So, I mean, come on. Like, whatever. I don't think Flus goes. I think that ship has sailed. But I'm with you. Draft Caleb Williams. Move on from Justin Fields. Yeah. Like, sure, you can get a haul. But at this point, do you think Justin Fields will be a generational quarterback?
Oh, at this point, like, we've seen what a generational quarterback can do with nothing around him. That's not the situation right now. Like, there's more weapons on the Bears, arguably, than the Chiefs. Offensively? Arguably, the Bears are more offensive weapons.
Like, rounded.
Exactly.
Certainly.
So if you were to add a generational quarterback to that, like, look what Pat can do. Now, I'm not saying that Caleb's going to come in and be Pat, but, like, you've just watched Justin not be able to do that. This is the part I just don't get. We watched it all happen. Mm-hmm. 37 games?
40.
40 games?
What else do you need to see?
It's what I'm saying. He's won 10, 11? Something like that?
Marcos, you said it last week on the episode. You said that, like, I think there was a point of, like, we'll have to see this weekend. And you were like, if we have said, we'll see what happens this weekend for however many weeks in a row. Don't you already know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of where I am. And I think it took the season ending to, like, not have an opportunity to swing anymore. Mm-hmm. And, like, ride has come to an end. And, like, okay, I've had my moment of clarity. And it makes sense. It makes sense. Draft a young quarterback. You save the money. And obviously you have a shit ton of money anyways. But eventually that money is going to be important. It's the difference between giving somebody $45 million a year in 2 years or 5 years. So I'm with drafting Caleb Williams. I think that that's the route that they should go. I love Justin. This is a circumstance situation here. I just want the Bears to be good. And I think I need to just chill out a little bit. And I said it last episode. I just need to put my faith in Ryan Poles. Like, I just need to let Chef cook. That's where we're at. Guys, anything else on the Bears?
Just on that, with putting your faith in Ryan Poles, just something that I thought of like today is that...
Chef to chef.
Fields isn't his guy.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, if he sticks with Fields and it goes bad, he knows he is out on Black Monday just like anyone else. If he takes Caleb Williams, he gives himself another 4 years, maybe 3 years, if it goes awry. I mean, he wants to win, but he also likes his job. He likes getting paid.
Jake, do you want to have your job for 1 more year or 4 more years?
4 more years. 4 more years.
4 more years.
4 more years.
4 more years.
Oh, Jake, can you see?
So I think that answers that, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, let's move on from the Chicago Bears. We'll do a little Sammy Stats question of the week.
Hit it.
So for you guys, I would like to know if you could make anything, not doesn't have to be athletic per se or anything that is currently of competition, an Olympic event, what would it be?
You could make anything an Olympic event.
Like if, for example, one that I thought of that I think would be fun, we're just in a standard high school gym, hardwood floors and everything. I'm on a 15-foot ladder with a bucket of 50 ping pong balls. I have to dump them out. How fast can you pick them up? A time trial.
Oh.
Okay.
A crisp 100 falls out of your wallet in a windy parking lot, and you can only catch it with your foot.
I would dominate that sport. Oh man, I can pick up softballs with these toes. I would absolutely dominate. Whoa. I can do that. That's not a joke. I will show you. Anyway,
nobody asked.
No, nope. I
don't pay good money to see that.
If I could figure out how to monetize these things,
feet finders,
people would pay good money for that.
Yeah,
look at those.
There has
fingers.
To be a market. Those foot fingers.
Dale, we're telling anyway. You, there's a market for that. And you have to
Are you telling me there's a market for that?
Not my Piggly Wigglies.
No, are you saying you're the market for that?
Oh, I'm the plug.
I'm the guy.
What do you mean?
I will sell your feet pics.
No, he is consuming the feet pics. Oh, he's buying them.
I will sell them to market.
I want to see, like, I saw something recently where there's a restaurant in either Korea or Japan, I forget which one, where it's run and staffed by people with dementia, and like only 60% of the orders come out correct, but everyone's fine with it because like it's literally cause. Yes, so like people are aware of what's happening and everyone's cool with it. I want to see like old people I want the old folks incorporated some way. Like I want
same
the
events.
Elderly in the Olympics.
Yes,
and so
I
you
want
90 year olds high jumping.
No I want an older person with dementia like walked through a zoo, and then they have to like fill out the map and see how much they can remember. Like I want to try and incorporate something for the old folks.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Dale, that one just kind of makes me sad.
Yeah. That one makes me sad. That makes me real sad. I would do
they're enjoying it. They get to go to the zoo.
I've always
they just like get
they're
like,
lost
the entire map wrong or they just get
yeah,
lost.
They don't care. They get to go to the zoo.
The
they think it's great.
Well, not alone. They're not going there solo.
It's dark.
Just commentators.
It's like night.
Dark.
Three cages are open. You don't know which one.
Heart rate monitor.
Okay, actually, new one. You're in the zoo. 5 cages are open. You don't know which ones, and like you got to figure it out, and also not die. Because spoiler alert, it's the lions every time.
No. Fuck no.
I got a few. A lot of household things. I want to see who can mow the lawn the best.
Oh, dude, that's totally
the best?
Objective.
Like crisp lines.
Crisp lines, and give me maybe a little artwork in there. Oh. You know, a real judging competition here.
Oh, you want to see
snow shoveling?
Have them work around like a
New
fence.
Balances
snow,
out there.
Snow shoveling.
Okay,
who can clear this driveway the fastest
and like the cleanest
and yeah. the cleanest? Yeah, you know.
But specifically, it's Jake's driveway. Yeah. Also, like right come now. Shovel my
go,
driveway.
Go do it right now. We'll start tomorrow.
By the way, it's tomorrow.
Also, drinking. Drinking should definitely be in the Olympics.
So what is the game, though?
Of all of them.
Just all the yeah. games you could
all
think of.
All of them. Beer like, Olympics. You've seen yes. the movie.
Yeah. Oh, so mm. we're just doing Beer Fest.
Beer Fest.
Man, I'd like to apply.
I've always thought, like, because you guys worked at restaurants, like, always thought servers with trays and the amount of plates yeah. and cups
I've
and like
that's
bonus points for like if you're stacking them in like different levels and shit. There were people like when I worked at Olive Garden, there were people that would take like multiple tables worth of just plates, and I was in awe because I'm like one cup and I'm like.
So I'm with you,
this guy Brian. Then he could seriously load on those big oval ones that you mm-hmm. see at yeah. weddings. I mean, he must have had 45 to 50 pounds on it of just glasses. It's like you're a psychopath. It's like
massive hands. I can't. I got nothing on the carry game. It is tough to be able to do that.
Yeah, blunt rolling. I'd like to see. Oh, like to see blunt or like J.
I feel like
I'll be a judge.
I feel like that's going to be the 100-yard dash. Jamaica's going to sweep.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Get back here.
Jake's trying to be nice to me, and the mic's not letting him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think that's the bad. Sign. I think that's the bad cable.
Yep,
We found it. We should tape that.
We found the bad.
We found
cable.
The bad cable.
Guys, anything else you want to get into there? Then we move on. We get into Super Wild Card Weekend. When did it become Super?
When they added a team.
Really? Oh yeah, that makes sense. All right, Super Wild Card Weekend, guys. I'm super stoked for this weekend. I think there's a lot of money making opportunities.
Oh, dude, I've got some out there.
1-800-GAMBLER, gamble responsibly. Lots of dogs I'm liking this weekend.
Breaking.
Ooh.
Juan Soto to the Yankees. 1 year, $31 million.
Didn't that already happen?
I just saw it for the first time it was reported. Juan Soto confirmed to the Yankees.
I thought that happened a while ago, too.
Yeah,
but
did it like when? Like,
I don't know.
Like days
months,
ago?
Months?
No.
No.
Weeks?
Weeks?
Really?
Yeah, not yeah, months. I weeks don't... ago? I bet it was agreed on in principle, and they just needed to hammer out the details. We should have a breaking news sounder.
I just got a notification that the Bucks are on a 25-0 run against the Celtics.
Oh, that's
I have like a pedal thing Amy's brother gave me, but I haven't figured out what I wanted to do with it. But yeah, we got to have a breaking news thing.
Breaking news.
News
Sunday.
Ever drops while we're recording. the 1 hour a week.
Right.
What a window.
So then you listen to it the next day and you're like, oh, they heard about this live. I heard about this yesterday.
Anything that drops between 6 and 7 on a Thursday. Oh, we got it.
Guys, Wild Card Weekend sees the Browns. There's a lot of storylines. The NFL is actually scripted. Like, and if there was health, it would be an even cooler weekend. Opening game is Browns at Texans. I'm giving you guys all dog numbers here. So Houston +2, +105 on the money line. Point total is 43.5. If Deshaun Watson was playing, like Deshaun going back to Houston, like would just in a playoff game. Just be a really cool storyline. But even then, still, dude, don't discount the 39-year-old. He'll be 39
dude,
at the start of the game.
Joe Flacco is real. Joe Flacco's playing better than he's ever played.
It's crazy.
It's upsetting.
You guys think the magic continues? Do you think Cleveland has a chance this week?
I'm all in. Every game, every week.
And if they win, doesn't he get the Ravens?
He does.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and I mean, CJ Stroud, a rookie in that game. Like,
good for you.
Being a Panthers fan, it's got to be tough.
Got to be tough.
Every week must suck.
It's got to be super, super tough. Guys, and then next game sees the Dolphins travel to KC in what is going to be like arguably one of the coldest games in NFL history.
Under.
I think they're talking about like a -4 air temp or -4 air temp with like wind chills of like -30 getting into -40. That's crazy.
Hammer the under.
You've got Miami getting 4.5 points, 43.5 on the total. Miami is +185 on the money line. I think the Dolphins could go into Kansas City and win because Kansas City has been that underwhelming all season. But Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes.
And it's going to be minus however many degrees.
Yeah, whatever.
And the KC defense has been solid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's held them in games. If anyone can catch the damn ball from Mahomes.
I'll give Miami the points and take the under on that.
I'm taking Dolphins on the money line. 100 Gambler, gamble responsibly.
I think Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah?
Yeah. Dolphins are banged up.
When it's like...
Yeah, what's the word on Mostert, Waddle?
Mostert's good. Waddle and Hill both are on the injury report, but limited participation in practice. Yeah. I mean, those guys at this point, what do you need to practice for?
Yeah.
Like, nobody really needs to practice. Like, just get to the game healthy. So,
right.
I bet you they both play in some capacity. But yeah, I mean, I just... The Chiefs have not... Have not looked like the Chiefs, and I think the Dolphins, if they're on that kind of uptick, because they've ridden the roller coaster this season, I can see the Dolphins going in there getting an upset. Next game sees the Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. You get Pittsburgh getting, I think it's the biggest spread of the weekend.
Yep.
Pittsburgh's getting 9.5, 35 on the total. Steelers are plus 375, the biggest dog of the weekend.
There's no TJ Watt. There's no chance.
Yeah, there's no chance. Is there any faith in the Mason Rudolph to George Pickens connection?
Not for me.
I mean, this game doesn't really matter to like the Steelers. Like just getting here
was a big deal.
Yeah.
You imagine if Mike Tomlin,
they're just trying to cover the spread at this point.
If Mike Tomlin coaches these guys to a first round win this season
against the number 2
seed, we'll
give you the number 8 pick or that dude pick for him.
That dude is so goddamn good. Guys, next game then sees the Packers head to Dallas. Green Bay is a 7-point dog. Their total is 50.5. That's a big ass total. And then you've got Green Bay is plus 260 on the money line. I don't think the Packers' defense is good enough to stop the Cowboys' offense, especially at home. That Cowboys team at home.
They're
the last
3 years,
they're the number one team in football at home.
Good
number
God.
Two against the spread.
Yeah. They're going to have to go on the road. Like, if Dak is legit and if this team, obviously, like, everything leads through San Francisco, if everything shakes out the way it might go. But, like, at home, I don't see the Cowboys, like, not dominating this game. Sorry, Jose. Trevor, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, I mean, the Cowboys at home have been an absolute wagon for the last 3 seasons, and I just don't see it changing. I mean,
when I was looking earlier this week, I got the Packers plus 7.5, so that was nice. And I think I saw that it was something like 70-odd% of the bets were against that. So I got to figure that most of us are wrong, right? They make their money. So I'm just going against consensus.
That's a strat. That works. Guys, then what? Next game is the Rams at Detroit. It sees Matt Stafford going back to the Motor City. Rams are 3-point dogs, 51.5 on the total. That is the biggest point total of the weekend. And you got LA plus 140. That is another game that I'm taking the underdog in that situation. I'm taking Matt Stafford because, again, the Lions, like a couple other teams, have limped into the playoffs here, not looking like the beginning of the season versions of themselves. And I think the Rams have enough. And I think it would be cool to see Matt Stafford win in Detroit.
It's got to be the best game to watch just for the storylines alone.
Jake, how do you feel about that game?
Excuse me. The storyline's great. But, you know, the two quarterbacks that were kind of... Is my mic on? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're good.
the two quarterbacks that, you know...
The moment you fucked with it, though.
I'm hanging in it. I'm
in it. We should change that camera.
I'm in there.
I offered. He said no.
I don't know what it's going to do to the whole, you know, recording. Don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks, producer Jake.
Got you. this is one of the ones I'm most excited for. I love the Rams.
Plus 140, 1-800 Gambler. Gamble responsibly. Last game of the weekend then sees the fraudulent Philadelphia Eagles going to Tampa Bay. The Bucs are hosting a playoff game. The Fighting Baker Mayfields. Tampa is getting 3 points, so we got some home dogs. 43.5 on the total. Tampa Bay is plus 130 on the money line. Insert everything that I told you guys about Kansas City and the Dolphins. The exact same reason right here. I don't think that the Eagles are playing their best football. That defense isn't as good as last year. Jalen Hurts is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Tampa Bay. I could see a Mike Evans big day. I got Bucks.
This one's so close that I won't touch the spread. I just think that it'll go under that for those reasons that they're banged up. And
is A.J. Brown playing?
I think
A.J. will be playing.
I think Devonta's a day...
I thought he was hurt.
He's hurt, but he's I think he has a chance to play still. Mm-hmm. He's got like a low ankle sprain or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be
AJ missed practice. Not that that really matters, like we said.
Yeah, like that's going to be a tough game, but I don't know. The Eagles just like, God, what a fall. Like, you know, they're talking about like
firing their
fans
coach
in Philly are talking about like firing Nick Sirianni.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
In what world, dude? We have meathead fans. Like, Philly is a special breed.
Well, I mean, they went from a Super Bowl to 10-1 to a monumental collapse. I mean, the collapse is like hurtful. I mean, they were staring at the one seed.
Were they 10-1?
Yeah. Or they were 9-1 staring at 10 and they shit the bed versus
their win total this season was 11.5.
Yeah.
You imagine having the over? Good God. Guys, it's going to be a good weekend. Like, it's going to be a good weekend of NFL football. You got the Niners and the Ravens off this week. I'm going to see who they feed into next week.
They lost to the Jets.
Yeah, it's the best time of year. Playoff football is going to be great. I love the 2 days of football. Like, this is just going to be a lot of fun. 1-800-GAMBLER. Gamble responsibly, but have yourself a good time. Guys, anything else on Wildcard Weekend you want to get into? Then we move on. We'll do a little sports minutes. Go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. Start with the Chicago White Sox. Producer Jake.
Do you have anything?
We were able to match arbitration or come to arbitration agreements with Cease, only to trade him here shortly, I'd imagine. And a dark day is that Luis Robert has signed with Boris Corp, so the White Sox will not be re-signing Luis Robert.
Well... It was fun while it lasted.
You might as well trade him now.
Yeah, genuinely.
Or
I didn't see that one.
Or he'll just sign.
It happened like yesterday.
Or he'll just sign with the Dodgers anyways. Like,
yeah.
Either trade him to the Dodgers that now or so they'll just sign him in a little bit. Guys, anything else on the White Sox? We get into the Chicago Cubs, not a deal.
Oh, we got something.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so welcome Shoto Imanaga. So we finally did something besides sign a manager. Mm. So we ended up picking up a lefty starter. He was one of the higher touted Japanese players in the NPB. He's a little dude. He's only like 5'10", a buck 75.
30 years old.
30 years old. But he was also one of the highest rated pitchers in the World Baseball Classic, going up against some of the best talent in the entire planet. And he showed out. I think he started the game against the USA for the championship. He did stellar. His nicknamed the throwing philosopher, which is kind of cool. But
we got the professor and the throwing philosopher.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking of. So we pick him up for 4 years for 53 million. We are 4 years for 53 million with an option for a fifth going up to 80. I mean, it's obvious we needed another pitcher after Stroman left. We now have two of the hopefully better lefties in the league as far as a starting tandem is concerned. And then you've still got Hendricks, the professor, and Jameson Taillon. So we're still trying to figure out that fifth spot. It'll probably be someone like Wisniewski or something like that. But regardless, we finally did something. So that's super exciting. And then on top of that, we also made a trade.
Woo!
We traded with the Dodgers. We're sending some minor league talent, including a higher level prospect. I don't think I saw who it was yet. But we picked up Michael Busch, who's a pretty much consensus top fit, exactly, and spelled correctly. Pretty much consensus top 50 pick, or excuse me, prospect. He's struggled at the major league level in appearances, but he's one of those guys that just rakes at AAA, and he's still young enough. I don't see immediately where he would play if he were to make a pass of the big league team, just because he's not the best defender, and you've already got Dansby, Nico, and probably Christopher Morel playing second. So, regardless, we've made at
Where's
least a move or two. What's that?
Where's Madrigal? Is he on the Cubs?
Regardless, we've at least made Third a base. Move or two. A move or two. So, that's exciting. It ends a super quiet winter otherwise. Hey, we're still going to sign Belly, so that's nice.
Hmm.
It started with Shohei, and it's just working its way down.
If you sign Belly, are you happy with the offseason?
Don't say yes.
No, the answer is no, because you had so much expectation.
Really?
But
what?
Yeah, you had so much expectation. So what?
What? What? What did you say?
No, I'm not happy with the offseason if they sign Belly and that's it. But like, we definitely got to the point where we're going, what the fuck are we doing then? I think we're still 30-odd million below the competitive tax, whatever the fuck it's called. So, yeah, I mean, we got to make another move. Belly makes a lot of sense. It's just he might only play first base, and that doesn't make as much sense.
Anything else on the Cubs?
Nope.
Guys, we get into the Chicago Bulls, ninth in the East right now. Coby White's a revelation. Coby White is like, we need to build around Coby White. Another 30-point night last night. He's just looked so good. Like, just looked so good the last couple nights. Zach LaVine also back and getting full-time minutes. Same thing with Vooch. Those guys are both back. LaVine had a pretty good night. Almost had a triple-double last night, too. Vooch has been active and looking good since kind of coming back. The Bulls are the Bulls. I don't really care too much about the Bulls right now. Like, I love them. But there's bigger fish to fry. The Bulls will host a Ring of Honor night. Right?
So,
this is fantastic.
Oh,
so
great.
Bulls are hosting a Ring of Honor, and it's basically, you guys know how the Ring of Honors go for all these teams and stuff. It's like their mini Hall of Fame just to be able to kind of honor everybody. So they're going to have, in this inducted first class, there are 13 players, coaches, and managers. So Artis Gilmore, Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Johnny Red Kerr, Dick Klein, Jerry Krause can't be there. That would be crazy if he showed up. Tony Kukoc, Bob Love, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Jerry Sloan, Chet Walker, Tex Winter, and the 95-96 team. So I don't know who's coming. I don't know who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. But yesterday, Larsa Pippen was on with Andy Cohen. Larsa Pippen.
You love that dude.
I love it. Yeah, come on. So Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan were on with Andy Cohen. And Larsa Pippen said that she has sex with Marcus Jordan at least 5 times a night, which is way more than I had sex with Scotty. She said that.
Whoa.
I hope Michael's there. I hope Scotty's there. I hope Lars is there. I hope Marcus is there. Let's make a mockery of this whole thing. I want to see cell phone fights. Like, I want to see behind the scenes. Like, I want people throwing glasses. This could be some fun, fun drama.
The whole family affair.
Yeah. So this should be a lot of fun, because then you're going to have, like, I don't know, you're going to have other guys just in the background, like, actually there to receive an award. It's like, no. We're out here to see this mess. So I don't know who will end up coming or not. Like, does Phil Jackson's not coming? Have you heard? Up until I just said the name Phil Jackson, right now, you haven't thought about that name.
He's been doing ayahuasca and peyote somewhere.
Big Sky, like 300 acres.
The documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not since Last Dance. So I don't know who goes or not. I'm excited to see. So they're doing a gala tonight, and then the Ring of Honor game is going to be Friday, where they'll be actually inducted. So here's to hoping that, like, just chaos.
There's no reason for...
What do you mean? There's no reason to go on Andy Cohen's show and say that Scotty, you know, there's no reason for Scotty to trash Michael and call Phil Jackson a racist. Like,
you're right.
There's just no need.
Yeah, there's no need.
There's no need.
And yet here we are.
So funny.
It's going to be great, guys. Nothing else on the Bulls to report. We move on to the Chicago Blackhawks, producer Jay.
Our poor baby's dead.
Our baby boy.
My boy.
Got clocked.
They killed my boy.
An elbow to the face.
How they massacred my boy.
Broke his jaw. Had surgery today. Only 6 to 8 weeks. He'll be back. Mighty unfortunate. Good for the lottery. Other than the fact that the San Jose Sharks are one of the worst teams I've ever seen. They've lost their last 12 in a row. And so we've actually won games since Connor got hurt. So we're...
Are we better without Bedard?
No.
People are asking. I'm just being funny.
People are asking.
Are they really? What a dumb fuck.
No, I'm kidding. I'm going to hit the lottery button real quick.
Ooh. Oh, Jake loves wheels.
We stayed. The real thing, I said it last week, it's gotten worse. We got to pay attention to the Tampa pick. Tampa's sitting at 11 now.
It's got to be after 10. Yeah. It can't be 10.
We need 11 or higher.
We need them to start winning games.
Or lower, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
But if they finish within the top 10, the pick goes to next year's first, and that's unprotected, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what you may. I mean, hey, that's not a bad thing.
They might
thing.
Be bad again next year.
Anyways.
If it's just aging out.
Connor's hurt. He's on the IR. We traded for a player to, like, kind of fill that hole. It was like a 7th-round pick we gave up. Nothing crazy.
Nick's on IR, too.
Oh, Nick Foligno then broke his hand defending Connor.
Hilarious.
He was the second person to fight. He wasn't in originally. It was Kershaw was in on the fight like right after, and like good on the Hawks, like immediately.
For stepping up immediately.
Yeah, dude, like got hit and immediately was like, all right, motherfucker, time to fight. I don't know who you are.
I gotta do it.
I just gotta do it. I can't even fight, but I gotta hit you.
Not,
come here.
I'm not a fighter, but you did that, and I have to do this.
I have to do this. So come here. Down, yeah, so. Sorry, dog. And then Foligno later also injured his hand fighting. It's like, dude. So. Two guys on IR. What's the number on that, Jake? How much money do we have on IR right now?
Half your payroll.
I think it's like
$30 million.
It's in our text thread. It's like $30 million on the payroll. Like on the ice right now is $30 million. On the IR is 33.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anything else on the Blackhawks? Then we move on, guys. We'll do a little Schmegman. So let's do who's not that guy. I will start. And we'll tie it in with Connor Bedard. Not that guy for me is going to be Brendan Smith. Brendan Smith's that motherfucker who hit our baby boy. It wasn't a dirty hit.
Hurt his face.
He broke his jaw. Now all Connor Bedard needs to do is come out and release just a cold-ass Hall of Fame like rap track right now. Just like through the wire. You know? No big deal. So that son of a bitch, Brendan Smith. Watch your back. You're not that guy. Mm-hmm. Dale.
This week it'll be just... Carter Hawkins and the Ricketts in general. Just, I'm happy we finally got someone, but fuck.
But fuck.
But fuck, huh?
But, comma, fuck.
Let's eat kids.
Period.
Chuck.
For me, not that guy, right? We're not doing dog watches.
Not that guy.
Not that guy for me is going to be not those guys. It's going to be the McCaskey family for just holding us hostage, holding our happiness hostage time and time again.
That's a good call.
Jake.
There's a lot of parts to this, but not that guy, I guess, is going to be the reporter. Have you guys followed the NHL in the last week by any chance?
The Hawks.
I mean,
not around like the Flyers incident?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Flyers. So the World Juniors just happened, right? There's this player named Gutierrez, I think is how you say it. He was drafted like top five overall, okay, by the Flyers. Really good player, led Team USA in scoring during the World Junior Championship. As soon as the World Juniors were over, they traded him. They traded him away to the Anaheim Ducks for like a player and a second round pick. They came out and said that he was like saying things around, you know, in circles that he didn't want to play for the Flyers. And so the Flyers just traded him. He said, you don't want to be a Flyer? You're not going to be a Flyer. So they traded him. Okay. And like immediate press conferences, just throwing him under the bus, like saying, you know, bad for the culture of the team or whatever, just getting rid of him, you know, didn't want him there. And so a reporter at one point came out and said that Kevin Hayes, a former Flyer, was basically convincing the kid to leave the team. That's a lie. That did not happen. And dude, there's just so much shit around this story. It's crazy. And so, and then this isn't going to be my my dog sitter, but then Tortorella, who's the coach of the Flyers.
Torts. The best guy to be the coach of.
So Tortorella coached Hayes, and they had disagreements. And he's in a press conference the other day, and he's like, is anybody here the person that reported that about Hayes? And it's like quiet for a second, and the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, it was you? He's like, yeah. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? he's like, no, seriously, what is wrong with you? And he's like, we had disagreements. That's a good man. He's like, you guys just go around saying you have sources and saying things that just aren't true and it's affecting people's lives. He's like, what is wrong with you?
And just, is this in a press conference? Like, look it up on YouTube.
Oh yeah, just teed off on him.
Dude, but that's like, awesome.
Everything around this story is crazy. Tortorella also. In response to the guy being traded, he said something along the lines of, I wouldn't know Guthier from like a glory hole in the wall. He said this in a press conference.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh my
God. He is all time.
The past week for the Flyers has been insane. I'm surprised none of you have heard about this.
No. Now I'm going to dive, though.
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys, who can or cannot dog sit for you
I will start not dog sitting for me. He's a frequent not dog sitter. He's a frequent not that guy, that son of a bitch, Aaron Rodgers. guy's just a bad dude. And even sometimes when like he like
I haven't watched any of it.
Sometimes yet. When it like he comes back just a little bit and you're like, oh, like he went to New York and we're like, oh, you know, he came out like fucking Sammy Sosa running the base with an American flag in his hand. I'm like, yeah, hey man, that's fucking cool, you know? Like forever and ever, that dude's just a bad dude. Like, I can't trust bad dudes to watch my dogs. So, Karen Rodgers, you're not dog sitting for me.
Karen Jake. Rogers.
Dog sitting for me is going to be Jameis Winston.
How cool, dude. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the whole thing in general?
Oh, yeah. Love that. Shit.
Loved it.
I think it's very funny.
It's so good.
Because we've all been.
We all made a decision. Yeah.
We've all been teammates. We've never been. We've been coaches for like little leagues or whatever, but like. I ride out for my boys.
Well, so him going out there and having the group score the touchdown, right? And then in the press conference, he's like, yeah, we work hard all year. I wanted to give one of my guys a touchdown. He's like,
his first touchdown of the year.
Yeah. He's like, it's the last game of the season. He's worked hard all year. I want to give him a touchdown. The team decided that we were going to score a touchdown. And then he gets in like a respect off with the reporter.
Respectfully. Fuck yourself.
I loved the whole thing. It was great.
Jameis is a free agent. Would you want him behind Caleb Williams?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I just want the character. Yeah. That's a guy who, like...
That's a locker room guy right there.
He's great for he's great for an 0-16 room. He's great for a 16-0 room.
Speaking
like,
of...
That dude's awesome.
Eat them dubs.
Speaking of locker room guys, I heard this story about a beer league, men's beer hockey league, where every year the captains get together and do a draft of every player in the league. So you're not playing with your boys, all this stuff, right? So you do a draft of everybody in the league. But there's a keeper. But the keeper isn't your first round pick. The keeper is your like seventh or eighth round pick, and you really just pick up a glue guy. Like everybody like picks like the funniest dude in the league, no matter how good he is. Like he could just
be like round seven or eight is just a wash round. We're like
totally, and they're just picking like the best dude to have on the team.
Dude, he's a second string goalie. He brings the beer.
He brings beer every game.
And he plays great music.
He tells great stories.
Great playlists. He's got to be on my squad.
I love that.
I'll trade my next pick for him. No, I don't want your glue guy. I want my fucking glue guy.
Exactly.
Your guy drinks mix.
That's really what it comes down to. You guys drink Coors Lights because you're uncultured swine.
Trevor.
Cannot watch my dog is going to be Christian Wilkins off the Miami Dolphins defensive line. I don't know if you guys
saw
this.
Big Chris?
Yeah, Big Chris. I don't know if you saw this.
Big Chris, huh?
Yeah, Big Chris is fondling and fingering. In the dog piles.
The old Jefferson thumb.
Did he change the oil? Yeah. He checked.
He's done it all the way back to Ohio State. Like, yearly, he is just grabbing guys' junk.
Poop knuckle.
Just like,
poo knuckle.
And it's,
poo knuckle.
Goes back, and Josh Allen's my dog, so he certainly cannot watch my dog.
Be fingering buttholes.
Yeah, not a chance.
That is fucking hilarious. I'm going to pretend like Marco said my name. Oh, he did there for a second. So
gasps.
Mine this week will be an homage to one of the best college football coaches of all time. He's got the time now. Nick Saban will be dog sitting the chief marketing officer.
Going to TV, right?
You have to think.
He's been like working on that?
He's already been on TV. Yeah.
Oh, he'll make six, seven, eight figures a year easily.
Rich get richer.
He fucking needs it.
Ain't that a B?
That's why he can watch my dog. He's filthy rich.
That a B. Guys, anything else you want to get into? That is a wrap on episode 97. Guys, again, on all the socials, if you want to leave the boys a tip, at @TheBareMinimum on Venmo. Tip jar is always open. We'll see you guys here for episode 98. See Red. Bear down. Man, I love you guys. Bears.
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 Bears. Jake suffers from chronic poop knuckle.
Oh.
Ooh. It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
Bears.
Yep. It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. Feel me more.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but and then get the hell out of the chair.
The bestest friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What? Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Wow.
Football guys. Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, never, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love and celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.